Please stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to IBM's Utilizing Your Recovery Assets in the Most Efficient Way teleconference. Today's call is being recorded. For opening remarks and introductions, I'd like to turn the call over to Ms. Diane McCallum. Please go ahead.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Utilizing Your Recovery Assets in the Most Efficient Way. My name is Diane McCallum, and I am the Worldwide Sales Leader for IBM's DB2 4Z and DB2 and IMS tools. I will be your host today. Our speaker today is Barry Davis, a product specialist with Rocket Software. Now I'd like to turn it over to Barry. Barry?
Thank you, Diane. Good morning, everyone. Hopefully everybody has their presentation in front of them, and we will go ahead and get started. Foil 2, it talks about our agenda. What we're going to do is talk a little bit about DB2 recovery on ZOS, what we have available to us in the way of assets and utilities and tools. Then we'll go on through and talk a little bit about one of the new products, the Recovery Expert, that's going to help us utilize those assets. And I'll get into more detail and then show you some screenshots and explanations of how the product is working. So slide 3, DB2 recovery. I'm sure everybody out there has ran at least one recovery. Problem is that you don't get to run a whole lot of recoveries, and the bad part about that is you don't get to practice that a whole lot. There's lots of different scenarios in recovery. We've got from entire systems down to one table and what's broken on it, or what are they trying to do? Is it an outside mistake, or is it a busted component? So lots of different scenarios that we have to make decisions on as DBAs to do the recoveries. And with that in mind, why IBM developed an expert tool to help us make some decisions on that type of recovery and what we need to do. I'm sure most of you have gone through, I'm on slide 4 now, most of you have gone through a application failure of some sort and had to back out or recover to whatever my last recoverable point was. And I'm sure none of you have ever accidentally dropped an object, but those other guys that did that, you've had to make some decisions on that. How can I get everything back, and how can I get the data back, mostly? The system-wide, when we have our SAP-type applications and maybe PeopleSoft applications, that a dedicated DB2 is just running that one application, we have had to recover the entire system except for maybe a choice in some of the catalog components. And then we've also had our DRs. I don't know how often you may practice DRs. Some people do it every quarter, to some people every century, or it may be the first time. So all of those different types of scenarios all require different types of setup, different types of information. And even with that, we need to now decide what kind of recovery point do we want or do we have. Recover to current is usually the common one in a daily environment, but we may have to go back to the old image copy or to a PIT or point in time, or pick an LRSN, try to get some assistance in finding a quiet time where, hey, we can say we can recover to here and lose little or no data. We've got our components using, say, we want to do the recovery with the image copy. If it's a dropped object, it's a DSN1 type copy. Also, we have, if we have the ability to generate them, the choice of using what we would call undos or redos, backing off a few updates or replacing a few updates. Then we are also challenged with what all's related. I'm going to recover table space A, but what are the other objects related to it that need to be recovered? Whether we're using triggers, whether we're using DB2 enforced RI, application RI, we've got to make those decisions. On foil 5, we want to talk a little bit about the system-wide and application or code or data-wide resources or assets that we have to do recovery. Obviously, and this is just a little refresher, but obviously we've got the logs, our active log and archive log, and we will be using those for recovery. And if we have the ability to manipulate those a little bit, we can generate the undos and redos from those. The bootstrap data set, the BSDS, is the DB2 component. It's kind of like an index card of our archive logs information, our active log information. We use that, or the recovery utility uses that, of course, to just, you know, read and find out what assets are available from the logs. Syslog RangeX, as another kind of index card on the ranges that are recorded. SysCopies. Everybody knows SysCopies, a DB2 catalog component that all of our image copies are registered into, and also QoISs, whether we do loads with no log, some of those important things are all registered in there, and it has to be read to help us decide what kind of recovery we want to do. We've got our full and incremental copies that are registered in SysCopies. The DSN1 copy, I'm sure everybody knows, but that's basically your image copy that is not registered in SysCopies, and that happens either as if you've done some cleanup or if you've dropped the object, it's cleaned up, but your VSAM catalog may still have that image copy data set. Hopefully it does. And then we want to go in the actual table space that needs to be recovered. If it was on bad DASD, it's going to have to be redone. And then looking over the top of everything, we've got our ICF catalog. Hopefully that's showing all these data sets as registered and can be found. FOIL 6 gives us kind of a picture of the flow of our user data and those assets that we just walked through. Our actual user data resides in the table space. It's going to be backed up onto image copies. When we do updates, then the values that will be put into our user data are written to the logs. So user data resides there. That's what the large black arrows are for, is kind of a flow of our user data. The rest of the information here with the flow with the small arrows is talking about the way DB2 is trying to keep track of everything for you. Starting in the middle there with table space, data flowing, but that table space has information in its syslog range. Our data written to the active logs. Everything on that active log is being put as a registration point in the BSDS. If it's archived, obviously the BSDS is updated there. And then I have for my archiver active logs the ability there, if we can, to generate the undo redo. I have to have those assets available to me and know how to do that. So kind of a quick review of what's available to us, what kind of decisions we may have to make if that asset is there or not. And that's kind of why we need some help sometimes, is helping us find that out. On FOIL 7, we talk about the DB2 products that are available for you to help you do recoveries. We have our standard copy utility, which I'm sure we run diligently. That makes our backups. We have the recovery utility, which is our primary recovery tool for not only the application data, but the catalog itself. And then we also have the log analysis tool, which some of you may or may not have used. And with that type of tool, we can go in and make some decisions about whether we can generate undos and redos, and also analyze the log to help us find some information. Now, again, a while ago, we talked about the syscopies having points of history, if you will, about our objects as to when it was image copied, whether it was a full or incremental, a QoIS, maybe a load, no log. But we can also find out from the DB2 log quiet times, points that aren't registered in syscopies, but could be used for a recovery point. Then we have Object Restore, which is a standalone tool that helps us with drop recovery. We have Change Accume tools, which help us speed up recoveries by just slicing off the log records for a certain set of applications or certain set of objects. And when we do log apply in a recovery, we don't have to scan the entire log. We can scan just the accumed log and speeds up recovery. If we're into disaster recovery and you need assistance, there is the automation tool, which is used in a lot of places to build object sets, if you will, and lets us do image copy and disaster recovery and recovery and et cetera. Then also in V8, we have a new set of utilities for system backup and restore, and that, again, is to support more of our SAP and PeopleSoft type applications where we have a dedicated DB2 subsystem running just that application. And now, as of the first of June or first week of June, we have the DB2 Recovery Expert for ZOS, which lets us, or I should say helps us, go through those assets, what we want to recover, what tools are available to us, and knows how to apply them. The DB2 recovery expert for ZOS does just exactly that. It's an expert assistance. It knows the assets you have. It can interrogate those components that we just talked about and help you build recovery scenarios. You're going to have to make some decisions, obviously, on recovery as to the point where we want to recover, the kind of recovery we want to do, and you'll explain that or enter it on panels in Recovery Expert, and it will come through and give you suggestions and help you build that recovery. It provides recovery plans that you can select from. It will pick the utilities, the assets, and if you want to do analysis of the log, it can do that and help you find quiet points, recovery points, and then it will build your JCO. On FOIL 9, we talk about the way we want to select objects for recovery using Recovery Expert. And Recovery Expert provides us four ways, which is basically the same four ways we would be doing it if we were doing it by hand. This just automates it tremendously. Obviously, if we just have one table we want to recover, there's an explicit selection to say, let's recover table A. But we may also want to go out there and pick a large number of objects, not necessarily the entire subsystem, but a large number of objects by their database or owner name or something, by pattern, so we can select those. And we also have the ability, if we have DB2RI, that the tool will go in and find all the RI relationships for us and help us build recovery. There's also a component called Grouper, which I did not have in the earlier list of DB2 tools, but Grouper is utilized by a lot of different IBM tools for DB2, and Grouper lets us build relationship sets, and those sets can be RI or application or trigger or whatever, and those sets are defined. If there's defined sets done by Grouper, then Recovery Expert can utilize those as targets for recovery, and that gets us our relationships. If a customer has the automation tool, which was listed earlier, the profiles, which is a component of automation tool, is a definition of sets of tables and objects that we want to image copy together. In this case, we can use that profile to say we want to recover these together. So a number of ways to select what we want. On FOIL 10, what I've done is just given you a screenshot that shows you a list of objects of our recovery selection, if you will. Now, it's broken out, you'll notice, by storage groups, databases, table spaces, tables, and that lets us pick the explicit ones if we want. I can also, with Recovery Expert, look at the plans and find the related objects by plans, by package. And then if you have a grouper set, then I can go in and investigate the groupers groups, that's a mouthful in the morning, and select those. Or there's the object profiles, which only is functional if you have the automation tool. And during installation, when you install this, you will define some plans that say, yes, I have automation tool, or yes, I have grouper. Those are not required, but they are helpful. On FOIL 11, we talk about our recovery points. And basically, there's really only kind of three recovery points. We want to recover the current, which almost always, if we've had updates, is going to take us through the log from current point back to hopefully an image copy or an incremental copy. But in reality, you could go all the way back if you had the active and archive logs to the creation of the object. Doing it that way, if you don't have image copies, it's going to be a costly recovery. So again, Recovery Expert is going to help us analyze the cost of that. We can recover to a certain timestamp from the log. We have different points or timestamps that we could call the recovery history events, which we're referring to from our catalog of quiesces or image copies, etc. And then hopefully if you have the ability, you can find a quiet point from the log Those can all be recovery points to utilizing the timestamp as part of the syntax. Then we also have the ability of the LRSN or the RBA to find a or utilize that as a recovery point, but we need to make sure that that recovery point is not going to destroy a relationship between RI tables or application enforced tables. So when you pick a recovery point, you want to make sure that's not only just for that one object, but any other objects that are related to that object, as far as data values are concerned. Slide 12, I just show you a little sample screenshot. We're going to give you those three choices, select current, select timestamp, select RBA. If you select timestamp or select RBA, then we're going to go into some more drill down, if you will, and helping you discover and utilize specific RBAs or specific time points that are valid for that object or group of objects that you want to recover. Slide 13 is just a little screenshot sample of a set of choices. After we've picked our objects that we want to recover, after we've picked where we want to recover to, then we would generate, and in generation, recovery expert's going to come back and give us some choices on different plans of how to recover. If you can see plan 1, 2, and 3, 4 there, we're using DSN1 copy and recover log only. Another choice would be use DSN1 copy and redo SQL. The choice that I've highlighted there is saying, hey, let's just use the recover utility, and he will use image copying. We can do recover utility. There'll be a number of plans. Now, the cost, you notice the cost. In this particular example, there was very few updates, so the cost was pretty equal all the way across. The cost is, you have to view as a relative to the other recovery plans. So we're going to, some costs will be less, some will be more, but depending on your recovery type that you pick and the recovery assets that you have, the cost may go way up or it may go way down. A good example of that is I had an image copy not too long ago, and we've had a few updates, but it's a very, very large table space. The image copy is a lot of information. So instead of having to do an entire image copy laydown, it might be less expensive to just build some undo records of those few updates and kind of back out of that update instead of doing an entire image copy laydown. Those are the things we're trying to show you in the cost. What is relative to I/O, what is relative to a few other things. But basically, it's a relationship between the other plans. I've expanded out on this foil also just from the tree, the recovered objects, that just to show you. We will do a number of examples later on, and I'll show you the navigation, if you will. On foil 14, I've highlighted the tree for recovery plan 3 to show you the steps in that job. We build these steps. They'll be syntactically correct. Everything will be done for you. The JCL will be built. But the check status is not something you have to do. We do that to guarantee that when the recovery starts, there's not going to be some kind of failure. We can start the database. Check the status again, run the recovery, build the indexing, whatever's necessary. Image copy, again, you don't have to do that, but these would be the standard things that as soon as I did the recovery, I'd like to have a recovery point after that. Check the statuses, start the objects. So a number of steps are built in. These may or may not be your standard on what you build for a recovery job, and this is controllable by you. This is just a slide 15 is just a sample of the JCL. Obviously, it's taken a number of foils to show you all the JCL. So, but it's built for you, syntactically correct. It can be saved. It can be exported off up to a PDF on the mainframe. It can be saved on a file on a PC. If you want to save it, you can click run. It'll be submitted to the mainframe to run. Now, Recovery Expert provides for us on FOIL 16 the ability to build application recovery, drop recovery, and that's with assistance from reading the log and interrogating the log and the MVS catalog to find all the resources we need, single or multiple objects, complete dependency analysis. If I do a mask or a pattern, can I find relationships? If I have a specific object, what's the RI relationships? Whether I want to use a grouper set or a automation tool profile, I get the ability to do dependency analysis, and there may be more objects or less objects. Quiet point analysis, you have the assist built into Recovery Expert to define those quiet points. If it's not an image copy recover to or a QIAS, how about is it just a point on the log where there was no work being done to those objects? So we assist you in that, and system restore, which is DB2V8. You may or may not be familiar with the log analysis tool or the object restore tool, because some of the functionality that I mentioned that is in Recovery Expert contains solely the log analysis services, so there's no requirement to have log analysis tool. When we want to find a recovery point, the log analysis service is automatically called for us. If we're doing drop recovery, the what object restore could do for us was already built into the Recovery Expert and will help us do drop recovery. If you have automation tools, as I mentioned earlier, then you can use automation tools object profiles for a selection of a target for recovery. It's not required. It would be one less choice you would have for choosing your sets of recovery objects. Slide 18. I decided to list some of these because since I've mentioned what functionality we have from other tools, at this time, what version 1.1 does not have in it is a few things in here. A change accume, there's no automation between the functionalities from change accume. Recovery Expert does not do backup management. If you're a automation tool customer, then you're probably already using its profiles for image copying. You may be using some other method for image copying, but Recovery Expert does not at this time build image copy backups for you. And version 1.1 does not currently support disaster recovery or hardware assist recovery. There is also a Recovery Expert multi-platform for UDB on Windows and Unix. And currently, these two Recovery Experts do not interface. So that's kind of what we don't do. The product architecture, it's a three-tier architecture. The user interface is Windows only. There is not an ISPF front end. If I had speakers at your desk, I'd probably hear a ooh or an ah right there. And personally, I've been doing this for 30-some years, so I'm very green screen-oriented. But I've found that the GUI is much easier to use. So that was the architectural decision for the user interface. It is extremely user-friendly, informational, click and build JCL. We can browse output from MVS. It's quite superior, in my opinion. The server component runs on ZOS. It's written in C and C++. The agent component resides and runs in ZOS, and it's assembler in C. The servers and agents can run as a batch job or as a started task. Started task would normally be the way you would do it. There's no requirements for DB2 Connect or runtime client. We use TCP/IP communication sockets, so no requirements for any other kind of communications other than TCP/IP. The one user interface, I can connect to any server across the enterprise. The servers can look at any number of agents across the enterprise, connecting to each one of them. So I don't have to do log-ons and log-offs and TSO. Everything can be done from your client. Client connect to the server. The server is going to see all the agents. Make that a little easier to understand. Slide 20 is a picture. Pictures are always good. My clients are connecting to a server, and you can run with one server component. That one server component will see all the agents across the enterprise running on an LPAR, and that agent will communicate to all the DB2s on that LPAR. And again, remember, agents and servers, they run usually a started task, can be a batch job. They're up and running all the time, or should be. On slide 21, we talk about our schema-level repository. This is a key component for Recovery Expert. Recovery Expert has a utility job that will interrogate the DB2 catalog and build us our schema-level repository, or the SLR. This is the component that we use for a tremendous amount of information to feed Recovery Expert. During install, there'll be an initial load of it. Then after that, it needs to be updated routinely. One of the ways we've seen people wanting to do it is that they do a update. Anytime they run their maintenance, then they have a step in there that has an update to the SLR. So, again, there's a couple of choices on how to do it in normally, routinely. But there's a one-time shot to load it. And the SLR is stored in DB2 tables. It needs to be managed, image copied. It could possibly be recovered. If it has to be recovered, there is parts of Recovery Expert that can be utilized, but not 100% if you're having to recover the system-level repository. So that's a quick overview of Recovery Expert, the DB2 asset, and what I'd like to do now is go into some scenarios of how you would utilize Recovery Expert to build recoveries and execute them. So slide 23, I talk about four different scenarios that we'll go through here in the next half hour, and we'll do a simple one, just a recovery, a table space to current, and then I want to show you some things about how to analyze the log, try to find quiet times. We'll do a dropped object recovery, and then we'll go in and do some recoveries for related sets using grouper sets in this particular case. So slide 24, I'm going to recover just table space demo 7. This table space has had updates against it, image copies. We've updated the SLR. We've had more updates to it. We've had reads from it. And now, for some reason, we need to recover it, and we're going to just use the straight recovery utility. So what I kind of slide 25, what I've done here is I've kind of skipped the log on to the tool, but this, once you're logged on, this is your first panel. What you're seeing is a selection from the launch pad to say, okay, let's do a recovery. If I wanted to go just do log analysis outside of a recovery plan, I could do that for informational stuff to try and find some things, help me make some decisions. I have my specification set up from this panel for saving certain things, previously saved recovery plans. I can generate a plan now, save it off. I can generate the JCL, save it off. I can come back in here and using specifications, retrieve those. The information you see at the bottom is just some work we've done. The green lines where we've successfully analyzed, run log analysis, generated plans, etc. So we're going to select the tab Recovery and go to the next screen, slide 26. And slide 26 says, okay, let's pick an environment that we're going to go to build the recovery. And as you can see in the tree, that it's highlighted and broken out by the ZOS subsystems. And in that ZOS, I've got different DB2 SSIDs. If I wanted to break the tree out by the data sharing groups, that's possible, by the Sysplex, by the LPARs. Those are all possible to navigate down to. The eventual target is what DB2 is this on, or which data sharing group. So we're going to select the I81A DB2. And once you highlight that, the tool is going to go out and retrieve information. And that's what you're seeing below at the bottom and to the right. that it's active, specific information about it. In this case, it's a V8. It's a new function mode, port information, version information. It's giving me some logging asset information on the restart RBA for the subsystem, etc. My BSDS is my logs. And that's just informational. It's very handy. So we want to select that subsystem, and then we'll click Next at the bottom and go to 4L27. Excuse me, there, I had to cough. On 4L27, we start to see our tree of the recoverable objects that are out there. Now, we can report them by storage group, database, and notice table space, which is what we're going to work on with Table Space 7. Is that if you can see the two little arrows to the right underneath the table space, that means that I had a search pattern, a filter that I built. And you build filters by a right mouse click on the folder, fill in the window for filtering, you type in what you want, and in this case I just filtered on DEMO, and it brings back to me the table spaces that meant that filter. Obviously, you would have a very long list if you brought back all your table spaces. Below the table spaces, you notice tables, plans, packages, and there's more below that, and we'll get to those later. But I've selected, through a filter, the table spaces. I've listed my table spaces, and I've highlighted Demo 7, and then I've used, in the middle there, the right caret, left caret, and moved tables Demo 7 into the selected objects list. I could randomly go through and pick other objects to build a recovery for. That would be the item selection. We will do some different selections in a little bit. But now we would just, for this recovery, click Next. Go to 4L28. And the first thing he's going to know is what you want me to recover to. And in our case, we're going to recover to current because this is going to be a simple one. And so we just highlight that. Now, we'll do some samples a little later of timestamp and log RBA. And when we click timestamp or log RBA, we're going to go run some other stuff to help us find some information for you. So let's select current, click Next, go to 4L29. And now one of the things that I kind of skipped in the screen capture here is that once you come to this panel, it would be empty under plans. And you would click the Generate button. And it would go out and generate a selection of plans. So I kind of skipped the screen capture on that. So we did generation. He returned me three different plans. They're all basically the same cost because of the very low number of records that were updated. And I want to make this just using the recovery utility. I also have a choice from DSN1 type copies, log only, image copy with redo SQL. And I'm going to choose the recovery utility. And I've expanded the tree to show you the job steps. I'm not going to break that detail out anymore right now. You'll notice near the bottom right, I have validate, run, and view JCL. Those are basically my next navigation choices. The run, if I clicked it, the JCL would be built and submitted for me. And it would be submitted up to the mainframe, and then I would get a status panel coming up. I can click View JCL, and he'll build the JCL. He always gives me an opportunity to modify my job card. He has a sample job card built in for you. And I don't have to submit it. I can view the JCL and export it. The Validate button, if I had built these plans earlier at some other point in time, and I've come back to this now. I've retrieved this plan from our specifications, which was the very first panel. I can click on Validate, and he'll go out and re-review my recovery assets and whether or not they're still valid. Is this still a valid recovery plan? And if it is, then we can run it. If not, we can regenerate. We can modify. So let's go to FOIL 29. And basically what I've done from FOIL 20. 29 is submitted it, select run. And then on FOIL 30, I pop up my status from Recovery Expert, and he's showing me in the top half plan 3 is what I was using, when it started, when it ended, my max return codes. And in the bottom is the job name and its status. Now, you can highlight the job name. click on View, and this will walk us through, just like if we were in SDSF and we were going through the different files from our output. Our job, our step name, and in this one I just picked the JES2, the very first output file to show you the return codes. But if you wanted to click, you'll get a pull-down list from the step names of all the different steps, and we can go look at the sysout for all of those. Now, this output, you can save on your PC or export it. We can go back and re-review the JCL associated with this, just like doing a JC from SDSF. So we got back from our laptop. So if we're at home using our laptop, we wouldn't have any problem with this. Going to 431, we're going to do a different scenario. In this scenario, we're going to try and pick a point-in-time recovery using undo records. So we're not going to recover to recurrent. My table space is going to be Demo 3, and Demo 3 has been beat up a little bit. It's been updated, image copied. We've updated our SLR. I've done more updates to it. I've done an incremental. And then no work was done on it for a while. It waited, and then we did some more updates, ran a Quies. Then no work was done for a while. Then more updates, another Quies. No work done for a while. Then more updates, selects. So we're going to get quite a few choices to for our PIT, for our point-in-time recovery, because we've got a lot of Quies. We're going to have a lot of history from the catalog. We're also going to have some quiet times that we'll hopefully discover from the DB2 active log, or archive log for that matter. And so we'll pick our point-in-time recovery. Slide 33. I, again, have skipped the log on and a few of those screens and brought down just our selection. I've still got my mask on table space. We returned a list of Demo 3. I've selected my table space, used the right caret to move it into the selected objects, and we click Next to go to slide 34. This time we're going to say, hey, let's do a timestamp recovery. And when you do a timestamp recovery, the tool is automatically going to go in and say, okay, here's what we need to do. So we just click Next, and we're going to get a new screen here. This is the quiet time information. Now, on the right at the top, you're seeing, okay, object definition levels, recover history events, or quiet times. Now, we're going to select a quiet time, so that means we're going to need the log and find the quiet time from the log, and we're going to need help with that. The recovery expert's going to do that. Later on, we'll try one of the history event recoveries. So in the scanned range, that's a previously ran report, and we're going to run a new report because this just happened to us. So we would click on Run New Report and go to slide 36, and it's going to pop up a window giving us some information or asking us some information on what we want to do to run this report. We're going to select we can select just say the last hour, preceding day, preceding week, which would be an awful lot of information. Or we can select a range of time to analyze from the log. So we're going back in this particular case from 1711 hours to 1811 hours. So just the last hour is what I'm going to interrogate on the same date. And we're going to use this log range so that that's another one of our recovery assets that has to be interpreted for us to find which DB2 logs are going to be needed to scan for that log range. And then we've also given it a requirement of how long this quiet time must be. And in my case, I'm saying this quiet time must be at least 30 seconds wide. That could be a lot less, but that's the one I'm going to look for. So we would click Next, which would take us to 437. And then he's going to ask us again to see what assets or what objects that we want to select to be analyzed for a quiet time. Now, he's already broken out the tree, and if I needed to modify this, I could, but the selected object that we're sticking with is the Demo 3 table space. So you just click Next. He builds us a log analysis step that will go out and read the log and update our report for us. All we have to do is submit it. So you would submit the run, go to 439, the status of the job, the results. He's got a max code of zero, so we could, again, go view the sys list if we wanted. In this case, we're taking his word for it. We're going to click and go to 4040. And you'll notice now we're back to the panel with a new report with the current date and time. So we highlight that report on the left side, which is our scanned ranges. And then we get a list of the quiet times that we found from the log. And we will pick one that is closest to where we want to recover to. In this case, I'm picking the one that's at 1743.17 to 1746.18. So that's at least 30 seconds long, so even longer than that. And so he's given us our LRSN, our start and end on that quiet time. These are quiet times found utilizing the log scan engine. So we've selected that quiet time to be our recovery point. Go to 41. And again, I've kind of skipped the part where you click the generate. So go ahead and generate. And when we generate, we're coming up with our different recovery plans using that point in time for recovery. And I'm going to do one. I'm going to select plan 5, which is just using undo SQL because it had the lowest cost. It had a cost of 1 relative to the others, which was some kind of image copy laydown, our DSN1 laydown. So it backing off a couple of rock records is easier maybe than doing that. So we're selecting one. I highlighted out in the tree the recovered objects just for information to view. Now, again, we could click run or we could view the JCL. I don't remember what I did, so we'll have to look at foil 42. Oh, I just submitted it. We just clicked run. Foil 42 lets us review our job results. And again, we could highlight the job, ARY job, and view the output from it, which I didn't do. But that we could complete the recovery. 4043 talks about a dropped object recovery. So we're going to take demo table space 4. We're going to do some updates to it, an image copy, update our SLR, update the table, produce an incremental image, do some quiet time, some more updates, a DB2 quiet, again, a wait time, more updates to the table, some reads from the table, some selects, so more quiet time, update our SLR, drop the table, and then we're going to need to do a recovery. So I'm going to do a DSN1 type with redo SQL is going to be my selection. We go into the tool, and you'll notice something a little different this time. Again, I've already done the log on, selected the location, which is I81A. I'm on 4044. I've used my mask to list my table spaces, and I'm seeing 3 table spaces, but one of them is in red. Now, when we get into our tree, everything that's in the standard black type is saying that this object is recorded in the catalog and it's recorded in the SLR. The red one says, hey, this one's recorded in the SLR, but not in the catalog. That's our dropped object. If there was a blue entry, that would mean, hey, it's in the catalog, but it's not been updated to the SLR. So we're going to go to slide 45. We're going to select our table space 4 that's been dropped. Put it over into our selected objects. Go next and try to figure out where we're going to recover to. Now, in this case, I want to say, okay, let's recover to an RBA. And I would click next and we'll get in the help components to help us build that and find that recovery point. A while ago I did a quiet time. This time we're going to say, okay, let's go to the catalog and look at the recovery history events. Now, for those of you who are real sharp, if you've dropped an object, what's the first thing that happens? Everything in the catalog is removed for that object, right? All the image copy information, etc. What we're actually looking at here is the SLR information, what we've recorded in our repository. And it has listed in it a full image copy, an incremental, and a quiesce, which in our work scenario, that's what we did, and that's why we update our SLR every once in a while. so that we can get these current. So we're looking at that. It's got the start RBA for a quies, and that's what I'm going to try and use for my recovery point. So let's go to 448. He's filled in the RBA for me, and you'll notice to the right where it says log RBA is highlight or little dot as a selection, the RBA number, and just a document piece that says recovery history event. Select next. Generate the plans, which again, I've left the foil out where it was blank and just click generate, and then I got my generation plans. Now I'm going to take plan one, utilizing the DSN1 copy, and redo SQL, because I had very few updates after that quies that I can find. I've broken out the tree a little bit to show you in the DSN1 copy step. The image copy data set names were retrieved for me from my LRS and the MVS catalog. Then I have the rest of my rebuild and copy and et cetera. So I'm going to take that and view the JCL on this one, on foil 50. And what I wanted, this is just a small section of the JCL that we're viewing here. But if you'll notice the table space, I'm doing, it's built for me, the OBID translation. So my OBIDs for the old object that were on my, now my DSN1 type copy for my table space. And so he's built all the translation information for me, built the entire job stream to recover it, and then back it back, recover, build my image copy, et cetera, after I've recovered it. So slide 51, we have ran this, we can look at the output, review it, and we're done. Slide 52 is where I brought up, looking at the step 5 output, just to show you a different syslist from there. Again, these can be saved, exported if you want, or just we're retrieving them from SDSF. Slide 53, our last scenario. We're going to go out and try to figure out some related objects. If we have one object that's broken and we need to recover it, what all is it related to? In this case, I'm going to use a grouper set of related tables. And it's going to be TDBG01, the grouper set, and I'll show you how to select from that. So slide 54, we've gone on down to our object selection list. We said we wanted to do a recovery. We're going to do a recovery to current. I've skipped the screen capture on that. And we're into our selection of objects. I have broken out the tree for grouper groups. And as you can see, there's the catalog-wide, some different groups have already been defined for me. TDBG01 is one of them. I've broken it out, and I'm going to select group one. Sorry for the few screen captures, but if you'd have scrolled down, it would have listed the tables in group one for me. But we'll see those in a minute. So group one, everything in that group is related by some definition, whether it's DB2RI, whether it's a explicitly done by the builder of the group is saying that table A, B, and C are related for some reason in my application. Could be triggers, could be a number of other things. Grouper will discover those from you. Grouper also has the ability, when you're building grouper sets, to just go analyze the DB2 log and say table A was updated in this unit of work. What other tables were updated in this unit of work? And build grouper sets based off of unit of work discovery. But that's another little session about grouper. So we're selecting the one we have built, group one. Go to slide 55. We're going to tell it in this case to recover that group just to current. So we're not going to go through any timestamp analysis or log RBA analysis. Select next and go to 56. And here's something a little new. All right. It's come back and told us, hey, these are the constraints on these objects in this group. And we've looked around on a catalog-wide to determine all of these constraints for these groups. Now, In my particular case, all these groups were related and defined in my group one. But I can walk through these constraints now and look at the objects that are related. And if you'll see the first constraint, and I've got my PROJ and my EMP table, I can look at the second constraint and the third constraint and review this and decide if I do or do not need to recover all of those. It's usually safe to recover all of them. Also, you can go up to the second line. If you look here, it says the grouper set catalog-wide was used to determine the table relationship. I can modify that change and go in and use a different grouper set and restrict this work that it had to do to find these constraints across the entire catalog. So we're going to go ahead with what the tool has told us is the right thing to do. Go to 1257. And we get our recovery plans. This recovery plan, one, I'm going to check that one, recover to current using a recovery utility. And again, I've broken out the objects and the tables in this select list tree just to give you a view of them. Our choice now is to run it, revalidate it if we wished, or if we had built this plan a long time ago and wanted to validate it now to make sure everything was accurate. Or just view the JCL and from there view the JCL and modify it if we needed to when we're viewing, or go ahead and submit it when you're viewing. So we'll go to 1258. I've taken and viewed the JCL just to give you a little list of the objects in there. One of the steps is our status and then the recover. That's just a sample. It's not the entire JCL, obviously. That was four separate scenarios that give you a kind of a feel for all the different things you can do for a recovery, the way the tool assists you in looking at the analysis of the recovery assets, what's valid, what's not valid. He's only going to, when you get a plan generated by a recovery expert, it's guaranteed a valid plan. I mean, it wouldn't generate a scenario if the assets were not there to do the recovery. Now, the reason we put the revalidate or the validate on there is that if you waited, saved that scenario, came back a day later, a week later, whatever, you have to re-verify your assets at the time you're ready to run. So just kind of a recap there. I think we are ready to go to questions, if anybody has any questions out there.
Thank you. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you'd like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key, followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that's star 1 if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment. We'll pause for just a moment. And we do have a question from Henry Yim of IBM.
Hi. What about the security administration to deal with multiple subsystems? Do you have to grant the special ID for that tool?
Okay, if everybody, I hopefully can hear that, but we're talking about the security of it, and we have multiple subsystems that recovery expert can talk to, and we're doing that via our agents, and then the agent is talking back to the client through the server, and the server is the component that's utilizing the SLR. So security-wise, one of the things that I kind of skipped in the foils is when I connect to a DB2 subsystem, and that would be right at the very beginning. You've done a log on to the tool, and then you connect. When you connect, when you click on the connect, a new window pops up and says, give me your TSO ID and password. He connects using your authorization. So if you're a user that's not authorized to inquire against the catalog or to do recoveries, then you're not going to be able to utilize it. So we basically use, we make you log on, if you will, and we use that as the security. Okay?
Is there anything further, Mr. Yim?
That's great. So as long as I have a TSO ID in the subsystem, I can perform that function. Second question.
If that ID is authorized to, yes.
Okay, all right. Second question. When I view the output from workstation, can I do like a search function?
Good question. Right. When we were viewing the sys list, we're basically asking if can we do a find or a search function in there. And in release 1.1, it's not there. And I actually asked that very same question myself. But right now, there isn't a find.
Okay.
So now, here's something you could do. And this, when you're looking at the SDSF output through the client interface, you can export it to a file on your machine, like, you know, put it in Word file or WordPad or whatever, and then you have search function there.
Oh, I can go SDSF and search there.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. As a reminder, that's star one if you have a question or would like to make a comment. And we'll move next to Gloria Gartrell of ACF Incorporated.
Do you think you'll be adding functionality to use it for a disaster recovery scenario?
That is one of the highest priorities for future releases. Absolutely.
Thanks.
Thank you. We'll move now to Vinod Kumar of IBM.
Hello.
Yes.
There is any verification jobs to verify whether all the recovery process is done perfectly?
I apologize. Could you please repeat that?
Whether there is any verification jobs or how to verify our recovery process completed perfectly.
So how do we verify that the recovery job is completed perfectly?
Perfectly. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. Well, basically, that's why we you know, if you go back to, let's say, if you were looking at FOIL, the first one is FOIL 51, which is our review recovery job results. What we're doing in there is we're showing you the maximum condition code that was returned. So if any of our utilities that were in the job stream returned a 4 or an 8 or higher or anything, it would be shown there so that I then would have to go in and view the syslist either from the tool itself, which makes it very convenient, and look at it and see what went wrong. Now, Recovery Expert also has the ability to build restart on these recoveries also. Go ahead.
Yeah, due to any network problem, if the recovery process is stopped, how to resume it?
Right. So how to resume it if say that we went in and did a status on it and something failed. Two things there. One, the plan, when we generate a plan, we're guaranteed that the plan and the assets are there. So our likelihood of a failure is very low. But the things that happen to us are B-37s, occasionally security, but there shouldn't be any security problem if you were authorized to connect. So there are other things outside the realm there that could cause it to ab in. If it ab ins, in the view of the JCL or the regenerate of the JCL, right now you would have to go in and view the JCL that you submitted, which even from the SIS list are our review recovery job results. We can go in and look at the JCL from here if we need to, or go back, and we'll have to manually do a restart step. Depending on what the ABIN was or the error was, obviously we'll have to look at that. If it was a B-37, you would have to look at the JCL and modify the primary, secondary quantities or whatever, and then put in a restart step in the job card.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jeffrey Agosta of Duke Medical Center.
Hey, Jeffrey.
Hey, how you doing?
Very
first
well.
Of all, I want
to
thank you. You haven't said it depends many times yet. I was used to a few of those. My second question, my first one was regarding disaster recovery, which will be an issue with us if we go this route. We currently use BMC's product and won't live without it anymore. My question, though, is with the image copy functionality that is not there today, do you expect that to be there within, say, the next year or the next couple of versions, or is there any plan at all?
On that one, I don't have an answer that I can give out. We've got a number of requirements that we want to add in the next releases. IBM has the automation tool, which manages image copy profiling, if you will, very similar to what you're doing at Recovery X or Recover Plus. When you define groups in automation tool, you define your profiles, which automates the image copying scenarios for us. So I don't have a good answer I can give you on that. I think that would be, what was the word you used, maybe?
It depends.
It depends. That was the one. Yeah, it depends. Right now, I think the logical thing for the product would be to associate it with doing image copies from automation tool.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. At this time, there are no further questions. I'd like to turn the call back over to our speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you, everyone, for taking time out of your busy schedules to attend Utilizing Your Recovery Assets in Their Most Efficient Way. A great presentation today. And a special thanks goes out to Barry, both of Rocket Software, for being our speaker today. If you should have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact me, and I will be glad to put you in touch with a DB2 tool sales or technical sales specialist. If you are interested in DB2Z data sharing, I will be hosting on July 11th Why DB2 for ZOS Data Sharing Should Be in Your Life, and on July 25th, Data Sharing Health Checks. What have we learned? Goodbye, and have a great day, everybody.
And that does conclude today's teleconference. Once again, we would like to thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.